From the shores of Puget Sound, this is Greener Views, a unique media resource for information, education, consultation, and fun. Greener Views is a part of the Healthy Homecast Network and is brought to you exclusively by HealthyPainting.com and AmbrosiaDigitalMedia.com. Each episode will introduce and connect you with services, products, practices, organizations, and groups that focus on the health, happiness, safety, well-being, charity, and community of all. Find us on the web at www.greenerviews.net. And now, your host, Daryl Whalen.
Hello, and welcome to episode 27 of Greener Views. I'm Daryl Whalen, along with audio engineer Randy Parsall and videographer Michael Schwartz. On our last episode, number 26, our guest was Tristan Heberlin with Solstice Landscapes Design. Joining us this time around is Michael Armstrong from Second Use. Greener Views is part of the Healthy Homecast Network and is brought to you exclusively by HealthyPainting.com and AmbrosiaDigitalMedia.com. Okay, let's get rolling right into things. Welcome to the show, Michael, and thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome. We just led on to the fact that we're recording this in the evening. I've never done that before. So please tell us briefly, what is Second Use?
Second Use Building Materials is a business that diverts reusable building materials from the waste stream. We have a warehouse in South Seattle that the public can come and visit, and we have a very large quantity of inventory in our store and online.
So is the full name Second Use Building Materials?
Yes.
Okay, I wasn't
incorporated.
Incorporated. Sweet. So what is your position title, and what are your specific roles and responsibilities?
That's a big one. Official title, which we don't ever really use,
okay.
Co-owner. And I am anywhere from big decisions to dumping the garbage. So we all wear a lot of hats, and we change off many times throughout the day with who's doing what. So it's a pretty even-keeled. Anybody there is working hard and doing all sorts of things throughout their day.
Okay. So how did Second Use get started, and did you get involved with it initially?
Not initially. In 1994, Roy Hunter had a contracting business, and he was driving by the Fred Meyer on Lake City Way that was being remodeled, and he stopped on a whim and said, "Hey, I'd like to buy these beams and this dimensional lumber." And then realized that he had no place to put it because he had to have it out in a few weeks. So he rented some acreage in Woodinville next to Alpine Rockery off Highway 9, and that's where we started.
Oh, okay. And when did you get initially involved with it? In 1994?
Roy started in 1994. Lawson Schaller started 1995, who was my former business partner, and I started in spring of 1996.
Oh, okay. So had you done anything like this prior?
Somewhat. My parents built a house in eastern Washington in the 70s out of almost exclusively recycled materials. I mean, they really didn't have a lot of options, so the shell of their earth-burned house came from the Camp Hanford concession stand at the drive-in theater that a friend of my dad's demoed, and he bought the shalex blocks and the timbers.
So they weren't even aware of the fact that they were being forerunners of change.
It was more economic.
Yeah, they were the doers of necessity, which is the truth of the matter is, I believe a lot of the things that we're doing and needing to do and thankfully doing in this world now are definitely out of necessity.
It seemed like a natural fit when I started. Yeah, this is familiar.
So who's the target clientele for the business?
People who are looking for things and people who are getting rid of things. We serve both parties equally. If you have materials that you'd like to get rid of or a remodel coming up on your house and don't want to see the material go into the landfill, we're an excellent resource. And if you are looking for materials to put in your home or your business or art studio or chicken coop or whatever the case is, then we work well there too. And the planet, because new stuff is not being produced. So it's all pretty much used. Actually, about 90% of our inventory is used. There's a few things that we carry, like Metro Paint from Portland, that's recycled paint, latex paint, but it's colorized and repackaged and upper sale, so technically it's used too.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with it.
You would be.
I would love to get somebody that's involved in all that to come on the show sometime. Yeah, I would say that I didn't really mention too much in the beginning that you and I had met from a friend of mine, that you guys were housemates together 10, 12 years ago or longer. And when we met, I had the chance to go down there, and I started doing some floor remodeling in West Seattle and got to go down there. And
Jeff McCord, wasn't it?
Jeff McCord. I was just talking to him today. We're still pretty good close. In fact, he's been on the show, and I don't know. I noticed on your website that you had something about the house moving. I don't know if you're associated with that or if that's to a different.
No, it's Nickel Brothers.
Yeah,
and
cool.
Jeff, and we have entire houses listed that need to be moved. So what better way to salvage something than in entirety?
Yeah,
it's a little involved and complicated.
It's very intense. But, it's really cool, though. Yeah,
it
Jeff
is cool.
Jeff did a great. I encourage anybody that hasn't listened to that episode is, that's near the beginning. This is probably number 5 or 6 or so. And but I was going to say that I would encourage anybody to go down there and check out what they have and certainly buy. And but I would also say that it's just a really neat place to go, and the way you've got it all set up, and it's almost like a historic type of a building museum. That you're the thing that makes it different than a regular museum is you're actually able to buy the items that are being displayed.
And there is truly historical stuff in there sometimes. I mean, there's a lot of very plain, basic inventory, but we always have something from an old building or an old house in there at any given time. In fact, one thing that we have in stock that is kind of out of the way were vault lights from Pioneer Square. When I first moved up here 20 years ago, I was walking around Pioneer Square and thinking, I want one of those. And it took 2 decades, but we finally found several boxes of them in a sub-basement in an old building in Pioneer Square. So we
cool.
Lights.
Yeah.
It's more Seattle than that.
There you go. And the neat thing about it is it's stuff for this area.
Yes.
So if you have a house, like I said, for the one particular house where I did a bunch of repair on the floor and everything, I was able to go, and it's likely that it was some type of a cousin or a brother or sister to the actual floor that I was working on, the pieces that I had purchased down there.
It's possible. One kind of interesting thing I've noticed over the years is, say, we'll be working on an old house in Queen Anne, and somebody that's lives a few blocks away comes and buys the material.
Yeah.
So that can be pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's really cool. So why does this business matter? What benefit does this really serve?
Directly, we are diverting reusable building materials from the waste stream. And what that translates to in hard numbers is roughly the equivalent of 100 city buses per year in weight of building materials is not going into the landfill. And if you take that a few steps further, that's material that's not depleting resources to be produced, and material that we're not having to pay for to get rid of. So it's just direct reuse. It's about as easy as you can get in most cases. I mean, it's also saving embodied energy, which it's really great to be able to put in an old floor and not have to cut down any trees to do it, because you're using trees that were cut down in some cases 100 years ago. So that I'm very proud of.
Yeah, and the truth, can you give a little bit of, without getting too deeply into it, an overview of the types of we've already talked about the floorboards and stuff, and you've talked about the vaulted lights.
Mm-hmm.
Could you give us a little bit of an idea of the variety or the range of the type of stuff that you go?
It's been quite a spectrum over the years.
Yeah.
We get in doors, windows, cabinets, fixtures of all sorts, light fixtures, plumbing fixtures, beams, and a lot of miscellaneous.
A lot of detailed hardware and stuff,
very,
knobs. And
very, very much we have a pretty good supply of vintage hardware, too, so, and modern stuff, too.
Yeah.
We very recently did a very high-end 1980s house, so we had a lot of very glossy cabinets in for a while, and some pretty high-end and interesting stuff. My favorites are the old Victorian houses or the craftsman houses. I'm always sorry to see materials extracted, but kind of gives it a chance to go on to somewhere else. But, it's quite an array of materials in there any given week, and it changes constantly.
Yeah, and whether it's, much older or even the 80s, I mean, the truth of the matter is that the 80s have gone and went several decades now. Not only are you saving all this stuff, even if you wanted to, you couldn't remake this stuff anyhow. This would be like the only way that you can get a lot of this stuff.
Very much so. That's kind of where the embodied energy aspect ties into it also. To use the flooring for a reference, it's hard to find old growth trees that are left. And a lot of the flooring that we pull up is old growth fir. And those trees were so huge that the modern lumber mills really aren't even set up to handle them anymore because there's so much second and third growth timber being harvested.
Mm.
So you end up with very, very tight grained, beautiful wood that is just flat out not available. Same thing with the old doors. There is beautiful wood in those vintage doors. There just is no equivalent on the market.
Yeah, I think the same with the hardware and the knobs and stuff. You just can't get anything that looks like that anymore.
True.
A lot of the, even like the hinges and the plates around the doorknobs, the detail and stuff in there, it's just not done anymore.
Yeah, I mean, even the reproduction for Eastlake hardware, for example, the modern technology for casting is much better than what it was 110 years ago, but the old product looks so much cleaner and so much sharper.
And I don't know if that's what embodied energy is, but there's a real beauty in the imperfection of the technology.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah, I love it. I've been in the painting business for quite a long time, and I've had an opportunity to work on many, many houses that are well over 110, 120, 130 years old. And it just blows me away just being able to look at the, the trim work and everything. It's what I prefer to do. It's harder work, but it's just the payoff.
Yeah.
The payoff is really, really there for someone like myself. So from your perspective, what are you most passionate about as it relates to this work?
I would have to say the stories
and
the fact that I'm able to do something that I feel makes a difference in the world. But everything in that store has some sort of a backstory to it. I mean, it's not coming from a production line from foreign shores. It's things that have been in our community anywhere from months to, in some cases, more than a century. And I love pondering what and why and how. I mean, how did it get there? Why was it used? Who used it? And sometimes my imagination can run a little wild, and people that purchase this stuff love this information too. It's a story. It's not something that you just run down and buy at Home Depot. It's a door that came out of a house that generations lived in.
And people share the stories just like they, I imagine. I mean, I guess I'm making an assumption, but I assume people share the stories just like they would sharing the stories around their great-grandma's china and silverware and stuff.
Some cases it's perhaps a little more colorful when we pull out materials from old brothels or convents.
Yeah, volumes of stories there. Huh?
People get really excited about that kind of thing.
And the old church stuff and everything, I know a big thing that they've done, especially up in, well, I know that was an area that you were familiar with, the central district and stuff. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of, because I've been in some of these homes where they've converted some of these really old churches and stuff into condos and townhomes and stuff.
Yeah, First Church of Christ Scientists up on 15th, off Capitol Hill, was rehabbed. And they did a stunning job. We pulled out church pews and flooring from that job.
Wow.
And I just recently was online and looked at some of the homes up for sale, and oh, they're beautiful.
Yeah. And when was that church originally built?
It's, I believe, 1913. Wow. I can't swear to it.
Yeah, in Cleveland, Ohio, where I grew up, there was a lot of... mostly Catholic and stuff like that, like cathedrals and everything, mm-hmm. and the stuff in there is just like mind blowing.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So what makes I know that there are other businesses and stuff that do such things at least similar to this. Mm-hmm. What makes Second Use special or different from similar businesses?
Well, our similar businesses are Earthwise. And the Restore. Earthwise is down north of us in Soto, and Restore is in Ballard. Very, very similar, slightly different focuses. We're comprehensive in our materials that we like to handle, and we have a pretty sophisticated inventory tracking system in place, and we update our website every single night.
Wow.
With new inventory that has come in during the day. That sets us apart. So if you're looking for something specific, the running joke is you can shop in your underwear.
Yeah. But you know that it's like updated, where you go on some websites and it's like, I was on a website today for a radio station that I like, and they've completely changed. It's on like a major like company, and they've changed all their programming around. And I went onto the website and it wasn't even changed on there. And I was really shocked. And I can imagine with stores and stuff, I mean, not necessarily just in the type of stores that you have, updating your inventory is something that's...
It's critical, and yeah. We'd like to keep it fresh.
Great. So what is the mission statement of Second Use Building Materials?
Well, our mission statement is to increase diversion from the waste stream.
Mm.
To preserve the architectural heritage of our region, to provide interesting materials and cost-effective solutions to our customers, and to interact authentically with customers and coworkers.
Wow, that's beautiful.
It took us a long time to get it figured out, but
that's
we've
quite
got
a mouthful.
It right.
But I like it.
Thank you.
Cool. For those that are not in our area, is there some type of a national resource for this specific type of service?
Yes, in fact, there is the Building Materials Reuse Association, which is a mouthful.
Yeah.
BMRA.org.
Where are they headquartered out of, or where are they?
It changes somewhat. In fact, there's a conference coming in 2013 to Seattle.
Okay, cool.
Locally, we have the Northwest Building Materials Salvage Network.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that you had that.
NBSNonline.org.
Yeah. Could you make sure that you send me those two particular links, and then Michael will embed those into the video, because those are both great ones. Cool. Yeah, yeah. So also for those that not in our area, what advice do you have for someone hoping to find or use the services of a business similar to yours?
Go online, hands down. That's the simplest thing. And each year there are more and more businesses similar to ours. I mean, when we started, there were really only a handful, and now there's hundreds.
Yeah,
So each major city has some form of reuse for building materials going on. Oftentimes it's the Habitat for Humanity Restores, which they carry mostly new, like 90% new retail, 10% used, but they're still a great resource for saving money.
So for someone like yourself, that obviously I seem to believe that we share this love for this old authentic stuff. The fact that all this stuff is popping up all over the place, all over probably the whole world, is really a great thing, because a lot of stuff is that had been. So back 20, 25 years ago, where I grew up back in Cleveland, this is a heartbreaking little story, and I'll keep it quick, but I remember them remodeling these buildings, which now are probably 120, 130 years old, and just throwing all these sconces and everything right into these dumpsters and stuff like that, you know? I actually still have one that I've held on to for like 25 years in my storage and stuff. But they were like filling up dumpsters with, but now because of this type of thing, is this kind of like the thrift store type of thing for building materials? This whole salvage and reuse thing?
Yeah, more we compare ourselves to a junkyard for your house.
There you go.
There's still a lot that's getting thrown away. Way too much.
Way too much.
But at least there's more of a public awareness.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still beautiful old things being ripped out and thrown away.
But people are certainly much more mindful of it than they were, say, even 10 years ago.
Definitely. And I think it will, I at least hope, will be a continuing trend, so that we really think twice about throwing something in a refuse bin.
Great. Yeah, I'm all for that. Well, we're going to take a very short break and be right back with the rest of the interview.
You are listening to Greener Views.
Me to the earth, which connects me to people who connect me to myself more honestly. And gravity connects me to the crust, which connects to the leaves on the trees that make it possible to breathe.
Came to rest on the minefield, blessed with naive mind shield, like a helmet. They would tell us that we don't know how we feel or how to connect with other people on the planet. Oh, if we only knew the power in each blue, disillusioned little. In the vision of one resides all, destroy the individual, for this is critical. The self ain't everything, hands to grasp, to cling, to mask material vastly shipwrecked beings. At last, release the greed amassed with capitalist tasks and contact. The mass communication is all we have in dwindling.
Okay, welcome back to episode 27 of Greener Views and our conversation with Michael Armstrong from Second Use Building Materials, Inc.
Thank you.
Got the full lowdown on the name now. So this is the point in the interview that we veer away from conversation that's exclusively about the business that you're here representing, as we hope to learn about what has helped to make you the unique and special person that I know you are. To begin with, who or what would you say has had the greatest influence on your life so far?
You know, you gave me this list of questions ahead of time, and those are some really hard questions.
Well, there's no right or wrong answers, and you don't have any obligation to answer them whatsoever.
Well, it was some good thinking. So yeah. I realized that much of that blame falls on my parents, who did a very good job restoring a sense of conscience and resourcefulness from a very, very early age. In fact, those blocks that I mentioned, they had us out there with my brother and I, with little hammers and little chisels, cleaning up blocks for the shell of the houses at age 7.
There you go.
So,
isn't that why you have kids?
I guess so. So, my grandmother, my mom's mom, ran a farm in Eastern Washington for many years with virtually no resources.
Mm.
And she was a very smart and frugal person, and that really rubs off. She always was saying, use it up, wear it out, make do, or go without. So, especially if you were asking for something, that's when you would hear it.
It's nothing like those old expressions, huh?
So, yeah, those three people. And I would have to say we had some – I grew up in a fairly conservative town in eastern Washington, and a few miles away we had a couple named Ray and Judith Warner who were extraordinarily progressive and are very highly educated, very kind, and she planted all sorts of subversive ideas in my head about an interesting world that laid past the borders.
Yeah.
And she and her husband Ray really were a good influence as I was growing up, just to kind of counter some of the more unfortunate views that were inflicted on me. So,
well, I can definitely relate.
And also Avis Jobrak, a friend's mom, who, a wild-eyed radical from the 60s, and she's one to speak her mind, and she's brilliant and really took care of me at a time when I was having a rough time with life and needed family, and she really stepped up and also kind of got me oriented towards green-friendly and organic and local community, supporting alternative community. I mean, the list goes on with her.
Before people were even talking about that stuff.
Long before people were talking about it. It was how she lives her life.
Wow.
So those people have been excellent influences, and I don't know where I'd be without them.
Wow. Well, that's some very in-depth answers, and I really encourage everybody to maybe take a few seconds to think about people that have had that kind of an impact. I can really feel that those people have had a lot of impact, and I certainly have my share of people that have done the same for me. It's a beautiful thing to be able to share that. So without regard to subject matter, what authors or books have been most inspirational to you?
Another good question. Ways of Seeing by John Berger, and that very much changed the way I looked at art, as well as a lot of other things. Douglas Adams' Last Chance to See, and, well, really anything by Douglas Adams got me through high school. James Burke, Connections, which was a BBC-produced series. He did it in the 70s, and then he did it in the early 90s again. Talked about connections of things that we take for granted today. Very, very interesting stuff.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. I like it. Sounds good.
Yeah, so those were all life-changing reads.
Yeah, that sounds like some good ones that got me going already. I always check this stuff out afterwards, and I've just found nothing but great stuff. There's actually a couple that I threw in here just tonight that I haven't told you about, but are there any specific movies or filmmakers or actors that have been inspirational to you? Without a need to necessarily go into any detail unless you care to?
Until the End of the World by Wim Wenders. I love that movie.
Paris, Texas is one of my favorite movies. That's Wim Wenders.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I'd say that one's... I saw that just after I first moved up here 20 years ago, and, you know, it was so refreshing to see a movie without a car chase.
Yeah.
Actually, I think there was a car chase in there, but it was a European car chase versus American car chase.
I don't think it was going all that fast.
No.
Nothing blew up.
There were four cylinders.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'd say that one.
Cool. What about any specific songs or musical artists?
When I was in college in Eastern Washington, we had a really progressive instructor that said, all right, I'm going to play this song and you're going to write a report about each topic. And it was Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire.
It must have been the 80s.
It was the 80s. And I left that class a different person.
Huh.
Because they started with Harry Truman and hit every point on up to the 80s. And they were carefully chosen topics and people and everything in that that's referenced
In that song
is a story within a story within a story. And, yeah, if you doing a report on each person or thing in there just really opened up my eyes to the world.
I have to give that a listen. I never realized the power of Billy Joel.
I wouldn't have thought, but it was the right thing at the right time, and that really probably taught me more that semester than anything.
Cool. No, I'm excited to check that out. So we talked about with the business. Do you have a personal motto or a mission statement that you like to live your life by?
I thought about that one for a couple of days, and just putting words to what I already do is I try to live lightly on the earth, and I don't strive to be nice, but I strive to be fair.
Mm.
So that's as succinct as I can be about it.
And if you're nice by accident, that's not so
bad
either.
That's just fine, too.
Cool.
It happens on occasion.
Oh, you seem like a pretty nice guy. Great. That's beautiful. So what do you see as the main responsibility we have to ourselves during our lifetime? Or you individually, or even people in general?
Well, it's funny. I had kind of a nihilistic view of the world up until my nephew was born. It's like, oh, shoot, there's another generation we have to worry about. So we should start paying a little more attention to what we're buying and what we're doing and what we're eating and all of that, and make sure that it is based in good sense and sustainability, because if we don't, I think nature will take care of some issues for us.
Yeah.
So I think just being thoughtful and being aware is about the biggest thing you can do, and not being afraid to act or speak up and sort your recycling.
Nature is very powerful, isn't it? Nature will win.
Yes, nature will win.
Yeah, great. It comes up about the seven generations. Isn't that what it is about the, is that the Native American or about the rule about seven generations?
I'm not familiar with that. It sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's actually a big thing in the sustainable and the green world, is our responsibility is to seven generations forward.
I suppose in some ways I've been so busy being in the middle of it, I don't always pay attention.
Yeah. Well, I've had the opportunity just from doing this and this kind of thing to find out a lot of stuff that I didn't know. I grew up in Ohio, believe me. Green and eco was something that I had never even knew what it was, except for maybe the color of the grass. So let's see. What do you see as our responsibility to our planet? Which is relatively, it's pretty similar. Anything?
Very similar, but I would have to say treat resources as resources and not as commodities.
Mm.
It's not something just to be used up. We really do need to be very careful with what we're using and how we're using it. I mean, just the events of the last year, hearing about the reactor in Japan. Growing up in the Tri-Cities, it's pro-nuke, but...
Yeah, talking about Hanford. You mentioned Hanford in the beginning.
Do you really want an energy source that you flip the light on for a few hours to pollute for the next 10,000 years?
Mm. It's serious business. Yeah, it's serious business. So, in your opinion, what can one person do that could likely have the most positive impact in life?
I would say pay attention, read the labels, ask questions, and figure out where you stand, and behave accordingly. I mean, as I'm sure you're dealing with paint, there's always a cheap brand, but... If you buy something that's a low VOC, eco-friendly, that's a good color, it's going to spread nicely, and you end up using less and don't tox yourself out and your customers. So why would you not go a little extra further and get something better and something sustainable and something that's made with a conscience?
Yeah, and even as simple as not buying 2 gallons of paint for convenience, even if someone else is going to pay for it, when you know that you're only going to need one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, pay attention to the bottom line, because it's not always about money.
Pay attention. I like it. Anything else on that?
Oh, I could go on for at least 4 hours.
Okay. Well, let's not. Let's encourage people to get in touch with you. Hopefully not while you're working. And so before we wrap it up here, let's take care of some logistics as to the best way for others to check out what you do, which contact phone numbers, email addresses, or web links would you like to share?
www.seconduse.com, spelled out lowercase. Our telephone number is 206-763-6929. Those are the two best ways to get into contact with us. If you have materials, you'll want to talk to our field services or receiving if you want to drop something by. And if you want to buy stuff, look at seconduse.com on the current inventory. That's updated, as I said, every day.
Cool. Thinking at least a few weeks out, are there any upcoming events or special offers or other information that you care to share with us?
We are having sales going every month on various items, and also if you drop material, reusable building material off that we can use, we will give you a 10% coupon good for a month.
Great. And last, yet certainly not least, do you have any wise advice, helpful hints, or final words to leave with us?
As my friend Petra says, don't drink the Kool-Aid.
Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Yeah, that's some nasty stuff. Well, great. You've been listening to episode 27 of Greener Views. We'd like to thank this episode's guest, Michael Armstrong, for joining us. We love you and thank you for sharing a bit of your world through this podcast interview. We hope you enjoyed your time spent with us today. Okay, again, then, does anyone have anything else that they need to ask or put out there before we wrap this up? These guys are the peanut gallery, and they always remain pretty quiet, but I'm pretty confident that one day they're going to have something for us. Nevertheless, let's see, on our next show, episode 28, we're scheduled to talk with Eric Lasur from Alki Moves about taking charge of your own happiness and health, amongst other things, I'm sure. On behalf of myself, Daryl Whalen, and our crew, our posse, Randy Parcell and Michael Schwartz, we'd like to say a heartfelt thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Special consideration goes to AmbrosiaDigitalMedia.com. Please check them out. Music is provided on this and most every episode by John Henry Scully at slapjazz.com. Dan Fajans, that's F-A-J-A-N-S, at danfajans.com. And J.D. Hobson, H-O-B-S-O-N, at jdhobson.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts on ideal guests and topics for the show. You can email us info@greenerviews.net or call 206-650-4587. Make your day extra special by checking out greenerviews.net and youtube.com/greenerviews for the video version of our episodes, where you'll also find more information over the coming weeks. And lastly, Greenerviews is a part of the Healthy Homecast Network, so please go check out the other like-minded podcasts and businesses over at healthyhomecast.com. Thank you to everyone who has made this podcast possible. Here is to the health, happiness, and well-being of all.
Thank you for listening. Greener Views is part of the Healthy Homecast Network. Check out all their conscientious and sustainably focused podcast programs and businesses at healthyhomecast.com. Greener Views is created, developed, and produced by Daryl Whalen. Our audio engineer is Randy Parcell. Our video engineer is Michael Schwartz of AmbrosiaDigitalMedia.com. Music for this episode was provided by SlapJazz.com, DanFajans.com, and JDHobson.com. Your feedback is important. Please feel free to contact us with any comments or questions, including suggestions for guests and program topics. You can call us at 206-650-4587 or send a direct email to info@greenerviews.net. Be sure to check back often. New episodes coming soon.